World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, as you can see, I'm the man in blue this morning. I don't know why blue, just kind of ended up blue and figured it'd be a good day to get a little bit of Jesus in the minds of people as they're reading it. You know, there was a couple great things out there. I don't know if you guys saw the Benjamin Watson, who's a tight end for the New Orleans Saints. He used to be at the Cleveland Browns. Benjamin Watson come out really hard on getting God back into schools. There are people out there that are beginning to waken up to some of these things that are going on, the tragedies that are going on. And we are in a really, we're in a very strong public relations battle right now. It actually brought out young kids. Can you believe they have young kids out trying to tell adults what adults need to do? We have it exactly backward. But the push against guns, I'm going to talk a little bit about that here this morning, is unbelievable. So I kind of came out and said, we need a little bit more Jesus. It ain't about guns. It's about an evil heart, right? There's all kinds of ways to kill people. There's all kinds of ways to hurt people. Guns certainly are convenient. And they want to grab the guns for some reason. I'm not a fall in line, lockstep, gun toting. No, you can't have my guns. I'm not that kind of guy. But when they talk about reasonable gun laws, hey, dudes, we already have reasonable gun laws. Come on, man. We already got them. We already got reasonable gun laws. So don't let them play that one on. And listen, another thing that's critical here this morning before we get rolling. You know, I never do this, and then I thought about it this morning. You folks, listen, everybody watching right now and everybody watching in 10 minutes and everybody watching here and on replay, do me a favor. Is that what I do? Subscribe to the YouTube page. Go right there on the YouTube. If we were to pull that YouTube up right now, on the right-hand side, there's a little thing that says subscribe. Now, listen, it doesn't really matter to me, but it matters to YouTube. It matters to them. Now, some people make money off of a YouTube. They call it monetizing it. We're not monetized. We don't make any money off of YouTube. But the more people that we get who are subscribed, it catches the eye of YouTube. And then they began to try to get into a process where you're a little bit more important. Stuff like that goes on. So right now, you could do that. Even as this show is rolling right now, just go up to right there and click on subscribe. And there's a little bell right beside that. And that little bell notifies you whenever a YouTube video goes up. Sometimes I'm going to start doing some more of it, actually. Spontaneous YouTube videos. And that little bell will notify you whenever I get a new video posted. So again, I don't even know how many subscribers we have. And Jared, you don't have to bark it over the air how many it is. But to subscribe, all of us, go there, subscribe, because those numbers matter, okay? Let's get it up and rolling. Before I look over, is there anything else? Yeah, there's a lot more. But before we get too deep, I like to do a little bit of housekeeping. Number one, spoke to our good friend Russ Dizdar yesterday. Russ is going to join us Friday morning. So you might want to get the word out to your friends that he is going to be with us for the full hour. We're going to talk about a lot of different things. Russ, man, oh, man. Hey, folks, you'll be able to see Russ in person at our Occupy Till I Come conference in April. And he actually told me about 10 minutes from his house. That's what I thought. Very, very close. Occupy Till I Return. That's April 20th, I think it is. I got so many dates in my head. Listen, folks, we're right now at our registrations. We really want to start to make the push for those. I promise you, if you come to this event, it'll be a life-changing event for you. Hear the Watchman in Dallas. Some of you are close to Dallas. Go to the Hear the Watchman event in Dallas. We'll see you there. And some of you are closer to here in Ohio. That's why we're doing it. We're trying to make it more regional. And so start putting $20 away. it will be worth it. I promise you. You'll be able to look each other in the eye. You'll be able to network a little bit better. That stuff's all on my website. You can get all that. But Russ is going to join us on Friday morning. I had a great conversation with him yesterday. Some of the crazy stuff that he sees, the crazy stuff that's going on. Mr. Tinfoil Hat himself. So he's going to be with us on Friday morning. And then this happened yesterday. I didn't even miss it. I'm going to be on Hagman and Hagman again tonight from 7:30 to 8. They called me because evidently we were the focus of Howard Stern yesterday on the Howard Stern show. I have not heard the clip, but evidently they played a clip from the show and then do what the lefties always do, you know, attack and say all the stuff that you didn't say and all the things that you believe that you don't believe. And the Hagmans picked up on it and they called me and said, hey, coach, hey, man, come on, you gotta fight back. So 7:30 to 8 o'clock tonight, I'm going to be on with Doug and Joe and I'm going to fight back. I got to get that clip though and see exactly what it is he told me. See, folks, please realize this is what's going to happen to you when you begin to stand up. Now I'm a little bit more, visible, I guess. So they, you know, I lay it out there. I don't hide it, but it will happen the same thing in your local church. If you begin to stand up, your church, the people in your church are so programmed. They are so programmed and they don't understand what I tried to talk about yesterday, which is this. If your speech is not free, you're not free. If you can't say what you really think, you're not free. And when you say what you really think, there's liberty there, but they're going to call you names and they're going to ostracize you and all that stuff. That's all part of it. Jesus said they hated me first. He came saying things that they didn't want to hear. He came saying things against the establishment. He did. And it cost him his life. And he said, you be like me. Come and speak the truth. Talk about my kingdom. Talk about Jesus, which is what, again, Benjamin Watson did. He spoke about Jesus. Jesus. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Don't fall into the God thing. Every God, 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 God. Which God? Which God? Lord said, there's no other gods before me, which tells me there are other gods. Which God? At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. And every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. And if you're ashamed of that name, if you hide behind G-O-D and you're ashamed of J-E-S-U-S, boys and girls, there's something seriously wrong with it. I got Rob Pugh in here today because Rob, this is for anybody who really wants to be part of something powerful. Rob Pugh runs the Wisconsin Christian News, which is a free newspaper publication up in Wisconsin, several states. Actually, it's, you know, he mails it a lot of different places. Chad, by the way, we're shipping some 500 copies to you that we're going to hand out at Hear the Watch. You can be looking for that to show up at your door. And Rob is having an event called Courageous Christianity. And Rob happened to get up early and join us this morning. Rob, go ahead and fill us in a little bit on that, will you?
Yeah, Coach. Can you hear me?
We hear you well.
Okay, good. Well, first of all, I got to tell you, every Tuesday night we have our Salt and Light Brigade meeting at our ministry center. And last night we had somebody drive 3.5 hours in an ice storm to be there, and they were incredibly blessed to be able to be part of that. So they're looking to start something in their area using what we're doing as a model.
It stretched you, hasn't it, Rob? It has stretched you personally, right?
Oh, yeah. Incredibly. Incredibly. I never planned this. You know, this is the Holy Spirit all the way. So, so March 9th and 10th in Marshfield, Wisconsin. We're right in the center of the state. We do an annual event. It's an expo and conference. And we have our best lineup, I think, that we've ever had. So, last year we had people come from 9 states and Ontario, Canada to be a part of this. So far this year I've heard from people planning to come from Kansas and South Dakota and, just all over the place. So I think we're going to have a great turnout.
Jared, can you throw that up on the screen? You're probably way ahead of me. There it is up there on the screen. Is it up there now, Jared, or is it just on my screen? Okay, good, good. So there's what Rob is talking about. Rob,
now, we do this in a public shopping mall, so we're not sequestered in a church. We're out there. We're getting them out of the seats and into the streets, and the whole idea is to be able to have a public Christian witness while we still can out in the public square. So.
And these are courageous guys. Bill Federer, if you guys have never heard of Bill Federer, he's worth the price of gold. And Pastor Bill Dunphy. Pastor Dunphy's the one that picketed the strip club and the topless dancers came to his church topless. It's a courageous man. David Arthur. David, of course, is here. He used to be one of those QRSTUV guys, and now he loves Jesus and he's on the right path. And Flip Benham, courageous rescuer, is going to be there. Operation Save America. Rusty Thomas, courageous rescuer. Coach Dave's going to be there. Matt Twella family's going to be there. Folks, this is going to be like something. This is going to be incredible, man.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an expo. In other words, there's going to be a lot of booths and displays and all that kind of stuff. But Rob's really put a lot of time and effort and energy into this, and this thing has gone from a couple hundred to maybe thousands. So if you're close to that area, I promise you, it will be worth your time to try to get there. Anything else, Rob? Hey, Rob,
yeah,
how do they get?
Yeah,
you
don't even have to be close. I tell people if this was happening in Alaska, I would do everything I could do to get there.
There's a white woman in this audience today.
Yeah, I'm with you, brother. I'm with you. It's worth it. It's worth it. It's worth 5 months in church.
Yeah. Oh man, and then some. And then some.
Now, you know, I also, folks, haven't said this. Rob runs the Wisconsin Christian News, which is a free newspaper. Hey, it ain't soft Christianity, okay? It ain't fluff. It isn't fluff. He carries hard-hitting Christian news, and it's so hard-hitting that the churches will not carry it. Rob goes around free copies to put in churches, and most churches will not put it in there because it's too controversial. No, it's full of truth, and churches don't want truth. But Rob goes around the state of Wisconsin and distributes these free. Now, listen, right where you are, you can subscribe, and Rob will mail one of these newspapers to you monthly. You can see it. Jared's got it up there on the thing. Says client. Click here to sign up. Tells you how to do it. You can get a year of it for $25. Come on, man. This is unbelievable. So that's 12 issues he's going to send to you. $25. Probably doesn't make a dime on, I'd imagine. You can do the same thing online. He can send you the online print edition. And Rob used to have a lot of supporters from the church, but Rob, they're deserting you, aren't they, brother? The churches are deserting you.
Yeah, honestly, we gave up on the churches about 17 years ago, and that was a God thing too, because you know God basically told me I need another church like I need a hole in the head. So we take it to anywhere in the public, grocery stores, restaurants, hotels, truck stops, waysides, you know, wherever the public can get it. So we're not preaching to the choir here. We're getting the information out to people that need it. And
your distributions, how much, Rob? How many you hand out a month?
We do, right now we're at 17,500. We've had had to increase our press run every month for the last 4 months. So, but we've got
folks, this is
so.
This is a worthy thing for you to support. $25 ain't nothing. It's nothing. It bless my heart if Rob got 100 of you to give $25 to him this month and then start getting the newspaper.
Well, I would love to see as many people from the from Pass the Salt up here in Marshfield for the 9th and 10th as possible, because it's going to be like nothing that you've seen before. So,
amen, buddy.
Hey, Kurt.
Yes.
Just to let Rob know, we're starting on filling up the second church van right now. So we got two coming.
Cool. Yeah, we are
awesome,
really
man.
Looking forward to seeing you guys. So.
You know, Rob, the problem is you are so far up there, man. Holy smokes! For us Buckeyes, that's a long way to come, you know. And
hey, we're closer in Texas.
Well, that's true. And there's a lot of people up in Wisconsin and up in Minnesota and Michigan and Indiana, people can get up there a lot easier than we do. So, I would encourage them. Rob, what about hotel information? Any idea where they could – where are they looking for it, Rob? Marshfield, they're looking for hotels?
Yeah, Marshfield, Wisconsin. Just go to TripAdvisor or give me a call, and and I can set you up with a place. So
awesome.
We'll make it as easy as possible. But
folks, I'm telling you, this will be this. You go ahead, Rob. I'll shut up.
I was just gonna say we're planning to go out to Texas at one of Chad's things. So we want to see what he's doing out there and firsthand and have admired his efforts for a very long time. So
you know, Rob, one of the things that frustrates me the most, and I tell this to everybody, pastors everywhere, this is not braggadocious. I'm connected to some of the most powerful Christian speakers in America. Well, then it's not Joel Osteen and it's not John MacArthur. I'm talking about guys who are living out their faith, who have the battle scars and the stripes to show it, who are powerful speakers. And you know what? Churches won't let these guys in. You ever hear Flip Benham? I'm telling you, man. You hear Flip Benham? You ever hear Rusty Thomas? Wait till you hear Bill Dunphy. Wait till you hear David Arthur. And we can take these guys, and we can put these guys in pulpits around America every Sunday of the year. But the pulpits will not open their doors to hear it. They do not want to hear it. They don't want to hear it.
Well, here's the thing. You know, we got people last year. We had people from 9 states and, like I said, Ontario, Canada, come to our event. But almost nobody locally.
And that's something.
In fact, the local church is actually, there was an organization that was a prayer group that actually organized a boycott against us. So,
opposing you. It's like I said yesterday.
Stay away from these guys. They're too radical.
Like I said yesterday, David Arthur was welcome in churches when he was a homo pervert. He was welcome in churches. Everybody wanted to get him saved. But now that he's saved and he can say, hey, listen, your son wasn't born that way. Your grandson wasn't born that way. Hey, listen, they're after your kids in the schools. Now they don't want him in church. Now they don't want him in church anymore. No, no, no. They just want to get him saved. Once they get him saved, they don't want to hear anything he's got to say. Say amen for me, David. So I know I'm telling them. They know I'm not lying.
Well, you ain't lying. Amen and amen, amen. And amen. Amen. And actually, Coach, as of this last week, I'm actually done with mine. I can't go back after they actually made me out to be a bad guy. Because I called out a young boy who was a transgender. I called him out.
Yeah.
So now I'm the bad
David,
guy.
Let me encourage you because our people are hyped to see you. They're spreading the word and they are excited. They're bringing their kids and grandkids to hear your testimony. So
amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Coach,
let's start fighting back a little bit of truth. Yeah, Larry.
Amen.
You know, this is a perfect example of what 1 Corinthians was talking about when it was talking about not understanding the body when you take communion and you can even die from that. Is these churches are not understanding what the role of the body of Christ is, and they're dead. They are dead churches. They're going to hell.
Yeah, they're not even churches. Thanks, Rob. Thanks. Yep. Chad, jump in here, man. Chad, what's all going on down there in Texas?
Well, we got another fun-filled festive weekend coming up. Looks like we're going to anticipate some rain and stuff, but we've got some great courses coming up. We've got some guys. Todd is going to give a class, and we're going to reach out for everybody to find out what their gift is. So we're going to be talking about gifting. Josh has a class on a bug-out bag, and then we've also got Glenn giving a class on some financial decisions that we need to make. You know, we have the U.S. currency that could be changing over here at the end of March. So we need to be aware of the thing. You know, the Bible says a wise man sees trouble and steps out of the way. So if you get run over by this financial train, it's on you. There's some knowledge out there. Stephen Minking's out there. Glenn, there's a lot of guys within the queue. They're within this Salt and Light Brigade that are very knowledgeable of the financial realm and such.
Yeah.
And so I just said, behoove you to get a hold of these guys.
Amen, Chad. Go ahead.
One more thing. And we're kicking off again on Friday night, 7 p.m. If you plan on coming Friday, let me know. So I'm not if you don't, nobody shows up till Saturday, I'm not hanging around all day. I got stuff to do. But if everybody's going to show up on Friday, I need to know that. Or those that plan on coming, please RSVP me, texas@saltandlightbrigade.org. Please email me if you're going to come. Thank you.
All right, Chad. Folks, I'm telling you, the miracle that Chad Estes has done down there with putting that brigade together is something. Rob's doing the same thing. Both of these guys have really,
Coach, I just had to say, look, it's good people that are coming in. All right. I'm not doing it all myself. I mean, I'm just facilitating it. And, you know, we're getting a lot of good people. And as they fill in, then people are stepping up and then they're enhancing like Houston and Dallas and Austin and San Antonio and, you know, so on and so forth. They're bringing other people in. So, you know, we can't do it by ourselves. We're just kind of the front man. I still need guys to play the musicians back there, you know.
You're giving them a chance to use their gift, though, aren't you, brother? That's what it's all about. That's when somebody's – excuse me, a little frog in this one. That's when somebody's faith comes alive. Before I shift gears here, anybody got anything for the good of the group? Anything out there at all that I've forgotten? Sometimes, you know, I forget things. I don't do it on purpose. And then after the show's over, I said, daggone it. I was supposed to – Sarge, anything out there that I ought to be mentioning that I'm not?
Just the Dallas dates, March 22nd through the 25th and April 20th through the 23rd in Canton, Ohio, on the calendar.
Hey, guys, if you're listening right now and you're going to go to either one of those events, email us and let us know, would you? Because we're trying to get all what we would call Salt and Light Brigade members together. So if you're watching in the queue, maybe you say, well, I'm not a member of the Salt and Light Brigade. Well, you are in our mind, you are. So if you're going to be there, it's just going to say, Coach, be there. We're going to be there so we can connect with you. It's really what we want to be able to do. And we found out again this weekend the power of eyeball-to-eyeball contact. Mark Trump, are you there? Because the difference, Mark, when you get to walk into a room and for the first time you put eyeball-to-eyeball, you see Roger Weaver. Eyeball-to-eyeball, you see Chad Estes. Eyeball-to-eyeball, you see Jim. Makes a difference, doesn't it, Mark?
Oh, huge, huge. And Roger and I had a dialogue, as David and I have had over the phone, but getting to see Roger and give him a hard time for showing up on the street a little bit late, that was fun.
Dave?
That's right. Yeah.
I've never realized how ugly some of these men are until I meet them.
No, that's right. That's right.
That's right.
I try to surround myself with ugly men so I feel a little bit more adequate, if you know what I'm talking about. That's part of the plan.
Some of them pretty, man, they're kind of on a slippery slope, I think.
They are, brother. They are. We'll get them straightened out. Hey, I want to shift gears here with you. God, that's 20 minutes well spent. Again, hey, listen to me. I'm going to say this. If you're interested in coming to Dallas or Ohio or even Wisconsin, and you just cannot afford it, but you really want to come, let us know. And what I'll do is I'll put the kibosh on some of these guys in here, and we'll come up with some funds and help you get out there to be part of it, wherever that would be. We are interested in your spiritual growth. We're not looking for little cookie cutter Christians. I've had enough of that stuff. I've had enough of it. But if you're really interested in growing, going deeper in Christ, and getting around like-minded people, the scripture says, let us not forsake the assembling of ourselves together even more as we see that day approaching. And you feel like that you're part of that. You're supposed to be assembled and you don't have the money. Contact us. We believe that in the concept of the storehouse being a place where food is stored for those who are part of the family. And so we don't want anybody to be able to say they can't make it because they don't have the money. Don't say you can't go to Chad Estes this week because you don't have the money. If you don't have the money, let us know. Don't say you'd love to go up to Rob Hughes thing up in Wisconsin, but you don't have the money. Don't say that. Because we'll do the best we can to try to help you get there, okay? Yesterday I was talking about, I want to kind of weave back into this because a lot of it I didn't get to really finish up on. secular government. And how, you know, the Bible says that one of the signs of judgment in a country, in a civilization, is when women and children begin to rule over them. And it was amazing for me to watch from the gun debate standpoint how now all of a sudden they're putting the children out to tell us adults how we're supposed to behave. Has anybody noticed that? Anybody at all noticed that? They're taking the children to tell mommy and daddy how they should behave.
Amen.
And the media is swallowing it, as always, hook, line, and sink. Well, no, they're not swallowing it. The media is causing it to happen. All these young skulls full of mush, some of them can't even tell which gender they are. These are the same people who don't even know what gender they are now trying to identify what it is that we as adults ought to be able to do. And they push back hard, man. And hey, Chad, my friend Chad S. has told me this, that your emotions will betray you. And everything we see going on the left is emotion-based. Emotion-based. I'm going to write a commentary today. You'll hear about it tomorrow, probably. The title of my commentary today that I'm writing at newswithviews.com is this. What if the abortionists used guns? What if the abortionists used guns? Because, see, everything is emotional, and everything is framed in a specific women's right to choose. It's all matter how we frame everything, right? And now we see the gun issue is protecting children, as if we really wanted to protect children. And I put a meme out there. You know, I'm not allowed back on Facebook yet. So if you didn't get a birthday greeting from me or you didn't get a hello, they still won't let me post on there, okay? But I put a meme out there, and now it's beginning to pick up. It's picking up steam. I see it everywhere. Now, I can get on Facebook. I just can't comment. And I saw about six of them just this morning. What is the meme that I said that we ought to do? I said, hey, listen, we ought to take the Planned Parenthood funding and use it to hire security in our schools. Now, see, this is genius. I didn't see it anywhere before I came up with it. Not calling me a genius. But this is genius. Because you understand how that, if we began to push that, you see the divide and conquer on the left. They love abortion. They don't want to call it murder. They hate guns. So we begin to pit themselves against each other, right? Begin to pit themselves against themselves. Take that $500 million a year that goes to murder little babies, and let's take that money and use it to protect all babies. Wow, huh? We got to be smarter in the way that we play the game. I'm believing Donald Trump's going to come out and say that. President Trump, come out and do the old divide and conquer with them. Come out and say it, the truth of what's going on. And you know, I'm not going to get into the gun debate. I got guns, all right? I got guns. I don't have cannons. I don't have tanks. I got guns. Come on over here. Try to sneak in my back door. You'll find out I got guns. Why? Well, because the Second Amendment guarantee my right to own them? Well, does the word shall not be infringed? Does that mean anything to you guys? In another meme I put out there the other day, somebody tell me this. I know which amendment refers to guns. I know which amendment that is. What's the amendment that refers to abortion? Can somebody tell me what amendment that is? The right to people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Okay, I can quote it. That's the Second Amendment. That's a restriction on the government. Shall not be infringed. Can somebody please quote that abortion amendment for me? I'll wait. Huh? It's like number three or number four. Isn't that the right to abortion? It's listed right there, isn't it? Oh, it isn't? So they want to take away what is a constitutionally protected right. They want to take that right away. And they want to give a right that's not even in the Constitution, right? They made up a place. It's in the penumbras of the Constitution, is what the black, the terrorists in black robes said. We got to wake up, man. We got to wake up. And I thank God every day for the devil. Because the devil is overplaying his hand, and at some point, the devil's going to push too hard. He's going to poke the wrong person in the nose. Something's going to come bad as a result of it. So I said to somebody yesterday, I know who it was, John Robertson at Hagman Report, the producer, when he got a hold of me. He's telling me about Howard Stern. I said, hey, at least the devil knows my name. Does the devil know your name? Does the devil know your name? I'd say probably not most of you. Hey, Jared, Click on the evil of pacifism. The evil of pacifism. Well, we don't think about that too much, do we? The evil of pacifism. Said what? Yeah. The Lord said for you to know to do good and not to do it. That's sin, boys. Pacifism can be evil. Now, this is, I don't know where I got this. This was written by somebody named Ossie Dasher back in 2006, if you can believe that. That's why I love the internet. Post something on the internet, man, it's like there forever. There forever. You going with me? Sure you're with me. Sit back and listen to this. Here's a little bit of logic. Okay, a little bit of logic. Last week, this is 2007. This is made up. Last week, Jack and Jill, pacifisto, another pacifist. Last week, Jack and Jill pacifists were walking home through the park after dinner with friends, during which they had spent a few hours discussing the immorality of violence and war and their commitments to send more money to progressive activists over the next year. Suddenly, Tony Thug stepped out of the shadows and pointed a pistol at Jack and said, "Give me your wallet." And pointed a gun at Jill and says, "Your purse." "What?" said Jack. "Hey, we don't want any trouble. We're pacifists. We're not going to hurt you." "Hey, it's not my problem," Tony said. "Give me the money." So Jack and Jill did. And then Tony said, "And now give me your watches, your rings, your jewelry, and everything worth having." Jill said, "This is my wedding ring." Tony said, "No problem." Jack and Jill handed over their wallets and their purse and all the jewelry and Rolex watches, and then Tony shot them both twice in the chest, picked up the loot, stepped back into the shadow. And as Jill lay dying, she whispered, "Tony, why didn't you fight back? Why didn't you have a gun?" Those were her last words. "I couldn't," whispered Tony. "I'm a pacifist." And those were his last words. A few days later, Bill Thaxton and his wife were walking home through the park after dinner when Tony Thug stepped out of the shadow. "Give me your wallet, your purse," said Tony, pointing at Bill, then at his wife. He didn't know that Bill was an old lawman, had been a Marine sniper when he was young, and was active in the Single Action Shooter Society and concealed carry permit. Tony assumed that the old man was just an old man, some money and a few credit cards in his wallet, walking home from dinner. Bill said, "Sorry, friend, I don't like guns and I don't want any trouble." "Not my problem," said Tony. "Give me your wallet, your purse," and waving the gun, "your rings, your watches, everything." "Hey, what if I don't?" said Bill. "Well, I'll shoot her. I'll shoot you both. Her first," said Tony, pointing his gun at Bill's wife again. "Well," said Bill, "okay, honey, do what he says." So she tossed down her purse, and Bill reached slowly for his left lapel with his right hand, and then, like lightning, did a cross draw with his left, and came out blazing with his trusty little 9, nailing Tony 3 times. When he lay on the sidewalk dying, Tony Thug was heard to utter, "Damn, I should have stuck with the pacifist." An acquaintance wrote me last week to tell me proudly how he had been a pacifist since the 60s. His letter sent me thinking about pacifism, which is the ultimate and vilest form of immorality. I'm going to read that again. Pacifism, which is the ultimate and most vile form of immorality. If you are Hitler or Saddam Hussein or Osama bin Laden or Ahmadinejad, remember this is 2006, your desire to kill those you dislike is at least open and honest. You wear your hate on your sleeve and we know who and what you are. But the pacifist wears his refusal to resist evil as if it was a badge of honor. And claims it is a sign of his or her absolute moral superiority. "I'm more moral than you. I won't use violence." The Hitlers and Osamas at least are honest about who they are. But the pacifist isn't, not even to himself. The German pastor Martin Niemöller wrote a poem around 1946 about the quiescence of German intellectuals in the face of Nazi rise to power has become famous. Here's what it said. "When they locked up the social democrats, I remained silent. I was not a social democrat. When they came for the trade unionists, I did not speak out, for I was not a trade unionist. When they came for the Jews, I didn't speak out. I was not a Jew. When they came for me, there was no one left to speak out." See, the pacifist says something like this. But unlike Niemöller, without apology, he says, when you come for my allies, I will not fight you. For I'm a pacifist. When you come for my countrymen, I will not fight you. For I'm a pacifist. When you come for my neighbor, I will not fight you, for I'm a pacifist. When you come for my mother, my father, my brother, my sister, I will not fight you, because I'm a pacifist. When you come for my wife, my husband, my son, my daughter, I will not fight you, for I am a pacifist. When you come for me, I will not fight you, for I'm a pacifist. See, the pacifist claims that he or she is too good to fight against the evil. And this is the catastrophic intellectual and moral failure of pacifism. In the guise of being too good to oppose evil, the pacifist invokes the ultimately immorality by abiding, by aiding and abetting and encouraging evil on the pretext of being too pure, too wise, too sophisticated to fight evil, thereby turning the pretense of goodness and purity into an invocation and license for evil to act without any opposition. The moral stance of the pacifist is, unwittingly perhaps, homicidal, genocidal, fratricidal, suicidal. The pacifist says, in effect, there is nothing good worth fighting for, and there is nothing so evil worth fighting against. The pacifist is willing to give evil free rein because he or she thinks or feels that fighting against evil is even worse than evil itself. An intellectual moral equivocation of momentarily staggering proportion. In order to be a pacifist, one must hold that Nazism or Islamism or human communism or any other puritanical or totalitarian ideology that seeks to slaughter or oppress all the Jews or all of any other race or tribe is no worse, is not morally inferior to the existence of Jews and Judaism or what other race or tribe is a whipping boy that day. To be a pacifist, one must hold the acquiescence to a jihad that seeks to destroy Western civilization is no worse than Western civilization. Even though the jihad seeks to extinguish intellectual freedom, religious freedom, political freedom, and ultimately the freedom to be a pacifist. As the English philosopher Edmund Burke said, the only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing. But the pacifist replies, I am so good that I will do nothing. I will hurt no one, even if that means that good will be destroyed and evil will win. I am so peaceful that I will not discriminate between the goodness of good and the badness of evil, certainly not with enough conviction to take up arms, literally or figuratively, against the triumph of evil over good, or totalitarianism over freedom, or barbarism over civilization. So the pacifist, perhaps unthinkingly, unwittingly, mistakenly, is deeply mired in his intellectual confusion, but surely and unequivocally the epitome of evil itself. For the pacifist devoutly believes that by refusing to fight against evil, he is affirming that he is good, too good and pure to oppose evil, too good and pure to fight evil, too good and pure to kill evil. But in the end, he is the enabler without whom the triumph of evil would not be possible. Bingo! Bingo! Someone who loves others defends others. And so I got in trouble with Right Wing Watch. That's probably why I was on the Howard Stern Show. I don't know. Because I pointed out the fact that we do not train our young men anymore to defend women, to defend children, to defend others. And when I said, why didn't somebody charge the shooter? Nobody charged the shooter because we don't teach our kids to think that way anymore. It's about self-preservation. It's about hiding in a closet. It's about hiding under a chair. It's about waiting for the government to show up. No longer self-sufficient, self-reliant. Stand and defend yourself. That's not being taught anywhere in America anymore.
Amen.
And so they run into schools and they kill kids. And then we want to blame the guns. Because if they take away the guns, they take away our ability to fight evil. And even people in the church are too damn stupid to see it. Somebody jump in. I'm sorry I said damn. No, I'm not. That was a lie. No, that was a lie. I'm not sorry I said. Forgive me if you were offended by it. Come aboard, somebody.
Coach.
Yep.
I went on last night. The next school board meeting in Mount Vernon is March 19th, so it's on my calendar.
Jeff, you ought to show up every board meeting. Every board meeting. We ought to all be showing up at our school board meetings, every meeting, and giving our 3 minutes worth. We get 3 minutes, we ought to go stand up and defend the Lord and give 3 minutes worth. Because listen, don't ever underestimate the power of one man standing up, speaking the truth to power. It's not popular. People aren't going to applaud you. But the fact that you are doing it gives the Lord an opportunity to work in the heart of others. If you stand up and you speak the truth, you don't know when you lay your head on the pillow, when the school board member lays his head on his pillow at night, how the words that you spoke to them may give the Lord an opportunity to work inside their heart. We cannot remain silent.
Amen.
Well, Coach, yeah, I got thrown out of one of them school meetings using their own analytical ideas, you know, and it was dealing with transgenderisms in these bathrooms that was based off the theory that this is what I feel I am, so therefore I am. So I went into the meeting and I said, you know what I feel? I feel like I'm the president of the school board, so I want to fire all of you. Brother, they threw me out. I mean, I said, wait a minute. So what you're telling me, it's okay for them to feel this way, and we're supposed to honor it. I said, but I feel like I'm the president of the school board here, and I think you guys should honor me that and allow me to be the school board president. And, brother, they didn't like that theory. It was putting a thought in their head. Just because I say that I'm this, it doesn't make me that.
Amen, bud. Amen. Amen. I just got a text right here. Somebody else can jump in here, but I want you to read this text I just got you. This is how the Holy Spirit works. I won't tell you who it's from. It doesn't matter. It's Romans 12. Verse 21 says this, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Now, hang on a minute. I know the person that sent this didn't mean it this way. Did you know that sometimes shooting somebody's good? You know that? If somebody had shot that kid before he walked into school, that'd been good, wouldn't it? That'd have been good. So see, we let these same people who tell us that transgenderism is good, we let these same people tell them that that's good. The same people tell us that defending ourselves is not good. See, they take the Bible, they take our words, and they use them against us because we don't think true. So to overcome evil with good, well, we would think pacifism is good. No, pacifism is cowardly. It's cowardly. Pacifism allows others to be trampled on. You may feel more noble, more righteous, and more holy. You might. But we look down there in Florida, and what's everybody crying about? Ah! Why didn't somebody do something? I'm going to do it. I'll get rid of all the guns. Good luck on that one, dude. 300 million of them. Good luck on that one. And see, so if you identify the wrong problem, you come up with the wrong solution. And the solution, the problem is, come on, let's get to the nuts of it here. Every one of those, protect me, Roger, here comes right wing watch. Every one of those kids that died in that school died because their parents put them in the school with Nikki Cruz. If those parents hadn't put those kids in that school, they'd be alive. So we ought to ban schools. Not guns, ban schools.
Oh, pencils.
And pencils. And cars. You know, more people get killed by texting and driving. Why didn't they make a law against texting and driving? Oh, they do. Well, let's seize all cell phones then. Let's seize all cell phones. See, we Christians, God-fearing people, have refused to clearly articulate and identify good from evil. There's too many gray areas. I call it gray hat Christianity. I'm a Christian, but I don't stand for nothing. I just kind of hang in the, I just kind of hang in the gray area there. You look real hard, you might see me out there someplace, but I'm sure not wearing a Jesus hat. And I'm still sure not popping out, standing up. And it's the silence, the cowardice of we who carry the name of Jesus. It's our cowardice that has permitted all this stuff to go on. Amen. All of this killing lies at the feet of the church. All of it lies at the feet of Christians. Yeah, Roger.
Well, you don't think if the Vineyard Church on Cooper Road showed up at the abortion clinic 5,000 strong and said, arrest us all, arrest us all, you don't think that would stop some things?
Well, we know it would.
Of course.
Why don't they? Why don't they?
I don't know. Cowards, pacifists, believe the law, it's the law of the land, so leave it alone.
Strengthening the hands of the evildoers. Didn't we read something about that a few days ago? Strengthening the hands of the evildoers.
Brother, just, you know, I preached on the ambassadorship of Christ this weekend, and I put up some pictures of that guy who says he's a dog and another person who says he's a cat. And, man, everybody in the church was laughing. I said, get the idea. I said, that's just a confused person. I said, but the fact of the matter, and went through the definition of what an ambassador is. I said, just because a person says he's a Christian, I said, they're not a Christian unless they are properly representing the king and his kingdom. I said, that's the problem. We have all these people out there that are saying that they're Christians, but when you look at their qualifications of are they ambassadors, do they represent another king, do they represent him according to his laws and his morality, I said they fail miserably.
They do, brother. They do. They fail miserably. We as a body of Christ have failed miserably. Now, I'm going to pat myself on the back, but I think if you're watching this show regularly, you know I pretty much say what I think. I pretty much do. And most people don't. And that's why there's so much gray area. It's like when my old buddy Dave Klontz, doesn't mean anything to you guys. I'm just going to use his name because he meant a lot, means a lot, has meant a lot in my life. Dave Klontz said to me about 30 years ago, and we were coaching football together at Heath High School here in Ohio. And I'll never forget it. He said, hey, Dobby, that's what they call me. Hey, Dobby. That you better make sure that when all the shooting starts, that all the enemies in front of you. There's some truth there, isn't it? See, all the enemies not in front of us, boys. The enemy's mixed in with us. We've been infiltrated. We've been infiltrated. And so now I'm standing at the door, and I'm trying to do a fruit inspection on everybody that's walking through it, and people don't like that. Who are you to judge? Who are you to judge? Oh, yeah. We're shacking up with each other, and we're coming to church and praise the Lord. Oh, really? Oh, well, come on in. Glad to have you. Oh, you have sex with men? You have anal sex with men? Oh, come on in. We love you. We love you. Come on in here. There's no gatekeeper. There's nobody standing at the door saying that ain't welcome here. Sorry, that ain't welcome here. That ain't welcome here. Every football team I know, I was coaching. You smoking cigarettes? Sorry, can't play. Drinking beer? Sorry, can't play. We had rules and regulations. Not everybody got to be on the team. Well, Jesus said everybody can be on the team, but by the way, once you get on the team, got a few rules you got to follow here. And we're letting the left, we're letting the other side change the rules on us. Okay, if I want to say anything, Jared, go down there. It says last one, masculinity.
Yeah, brother, because we got these kids now ruling over. They want to tell the lawmakers how to write and make laws. They've probably never had a civics lesson. They've never read the Declaration of Independence. They've never read the Mayflower Compact. They've never read the Constitution. Yet now they're the ones who are law experts about what we should be doing. Mm-hmm. Brother, that's nuts.
Well, here you go, right when you watch. Where the daddies saying to these kids, hey, listen, don't be out there talking about stuff you don't know anything about. You're talking, it's just on your emotions, son. You don't know history. You don't understand what's happened here. I appreciate what you've gone through, the trauma. I understand that. But, son, there are some issues that you just really shouldn't be speaking about, especially in an emotional time like that. Wonder how many daddies are saying that. Where they say, oh, it's all you on CNN. You did such a wonderful job. Oh, you did such a wonderful. You were so articulate. Pastors probably pastors will have them in the pulpit on Sunday honoring them. Oh, did you see how Cynthia was calling for the end of guns? Aren't we all proud of Cynthia standing up and doing her Christian duty? It just makes me want to, I'm not mad. It just seems like it. I don't know. How many guys out there are Jordan Peterson fans? I don't know. Some of you don't even know who he is, so you're going to get your first view of him. He's a Canadian, what's the word I'm looking for? He's a psychologist, I believe. But he's all over the internet. He's all the rage because he is killing political correctness. Now, this is a brief segment. We're probably not going to watch the whole thing, Jared. Well, he talks specifically about masculinity. Because, guys, there's a couple things that we could iron this thing down. We could get close to the point. Masculinity is one of them. The roles of men and women. If we don't get the roles of men and women right, we're not going to restore the family. We're not going to be able to do it. We're not. So here's Jordan Peterson. He claims to be a Christian, although he's not a Christian. He's probably some moderate, maybe a Catholic. He's probably, his Christian values do not shape his worldview. Yet he has unbelievably worldly wisdom in regards to certain issues. I would encourage you just Google his name, Jordan Peterson, and just, he's got 5 minutes. He's got all kinds of videos out there. They're everywhere. But I saw this one on masculinity. Jared, go and play just a few minutes of this.
How do you summarize why men are in crisis now?
I think it's because in a deep level, the West has lost faith in the idea of masculinity. Now, that's no different than the death of God. It's the same thing. And Nietzsche knew what the consequence of that would be. I mean, that's most of what he wrote about, you know. And so you'd say, well, the divine symbol of masculinity has been obliterated. Well, so then what do you expect? What's going to happen? That means masculinity is going to become weak. And especially if the symbol is also denigrated, right, which it definitely is. So what that means is that the ideal that man could aspire to is denigrated. And, well, then with your ideal in tatters, you're weak. That's definitional. So I think the reason that men have been responding positively to my thinking, let's say, is that I don't buy any of that. I like the masculine spirit. It's necessary, and it's not fundamentally carnage and pillaging. It's not fundamentally rape culture. You know, it's not fundamentally world destroying. And all of those things have been, all of those aspersions have been cast upon it. That's partly the guilt of Western society for technological progress, even. And those are reasonable challenges to be set before men. But they're not reasonable accusations to swallow without criticism.
What is a masculinity we can aspire to?
Well, it's responsibility, fundamentally. And it's to put it symbolically, is that your responsibility is to incarnate the spirit of the Logos. That's your responsibility. That's your role in life. And that is independent to some degree in whether or not you accept the idea of a transcendent and eternal reality. Now, I'm not making a case for that or against that. Those things are beyond human understanding. But we know what happens if people act poorly, if men act badly. We know what happens. We know that the world turns into something that's so close to hell that the difference is trivial. We know that. That's the story of the 20th century. So we should learn that lesson. And what that lesson is pick up the world on your shoulders and walk forward. Pick up the world with all of its trouble, with all of its suffering, with all of its evil, and move forward with it. And in bearing that burden, learn that you're the sort of creature that can bear that burden and therefore deserving of respect. That's identification with the Logos. And I've never encountered an idea that's better than that, because it's so not naive. It's the opposite of naive. It's like there's terrible evil and there's terrible suffering. It's bottomless. But the human spirit is capable of voluntarily taking that on as a challenge. Well, it's worth a try.
And that's where we get meaning.
Yes, exactly. That's
cut it off. Worth a try. Worth a try. See, we create victimhood. Oh, I'm being picked on. So, yeah. Hell yeah, you are. There's evil in the world. Man up, bud. Man up. Is that the message that we're teaching our kids? Oh, they're being mean to me. Oh, let's get them a safe room. Let's get them a... Somebody call the principal. No. The whole bullying aspect is designed to emasculate men. Not that men should be bullies, but the whole idea is fight back. You're a man. Fight back.
Dave,
that's masculinity. Yeah, Raj.
Can't imagine how many 26 and 28-year-olds come into my office with their mommy. Now, mommy, they can't be in the conference room with my client. Mommy gets upset. Boy says, well, I'd like to have mommy in here. I said, well, sometime they will, but if you're hiring me, it's you and me, and you're a man. And they look at you with eyes of, I want that, but I don't know how to get there. Then they
yeah, that's sad.
Out halfway through the case, they fire me. Because I will not continue to work with men who want mommies around all the time who are 28.
It's our society, isn't it? It's our culture. So instead of the listen, this will sound horrible, but I got to say it. Instead of the aftermath of these shootings in Florida being, hey, dude, where young guys are saying to each other, I'm going to learn to fire a gun. I ain't ever going to let this happen again. I'm going to learn to fire a gun. Instead, the reaction is, oh, please take the guns away. The exact opposite message. Meet power with power. That's manhood, masculinity. The truth of the matter is, you can be as nice and as holy and as righteous as you want to be, and at some point, you're going to face evil. What are you going to do when you face evil? That's masculinity.
Amen.
We don't even teach it. We have no concept of it. We don't even teach it. So Right Wing Watch and Howard Stern, They got the big microphones, and they make fun of guys like us who really in our hearts get it and understand the battle that's being fought against us. And they try to ridicule us. They try to make fun of us. And most guys don't have the stones to stand up and say, hey, I don't care what you say. You don't bother me. Here's what I think. Suck on that one, bud. We don't have that attitude anymore. Oh, I don't want to offend anybody. That is so womanly. That is so womanly.
Dave.
You look at all the great athletic events. It's about defeating the other man. It's about arising to the challenge and conquering the challenge. That's manhood. Yeah, Raj.
I'm convinced one of the reasons many men do this is because they just want to sleep with the women. That's it. Period and simple. Their angle to lack of masculinity is to get the woman. And I'm convinced a lot of men are that way.
So, boys, your life would be a lot easier if you quit letting your Peter rule your life. I shouldn't have said that either. And I'm not sorry.
Hey, Coach. Hey, yeah. Coach.
That was cool.
I don't know how true that was, what I told you yesterday. But the rumor was the sheriff in Belleville was going to arm the people to school and he wasn't waiting on Congress. Well, the same day we heard that yesterday, a girl gets arrested 7 miles down the road at Fredericktown High School for threatening to bomb the school, so she's in the Mount Vernon jail right now, both on one day.
Well, Jeff, they saw the attention this guy got down in Florida, right?
Yeah. Huh?
What if some dude walked into study hall and said, hey, listen, next one comes in here with a gun, I'm telling you, I'm personally taking you down. Why, they'd throw him out, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
Throwing him out. Can't be doing that. Report it to the, see something, say something. See something, say something. Report him. Go cower in the closet and call somebody. It's an attitude, boys. It's an attitude. I'm not making fun of those kids. I feel bad those kids were killed. I'm not blaming them. I'm talking about we as a society and we as a culture, we're going to have to man up. We're going to teach our boys again to be men.
Amen.
Gonna do it, man.
Well, Coach,
I grabbed my little grandson yesterday. He's two, little over two. Always hanging out with his womenly cousins, the other little ones. I'm not making fun of them. I said, David, hey, David, listen. Boys don't wear dresses. Boys don't wear dresses. Because they like to do, you know, they dress up. You know how that is. Boys don't wear dresses. That'd probably get me banned from something, wouldn't it? Yeah, come on in. Got a minute. Okay. Amen. Hey, we're out of time. We're out of time. Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross, lift high his royal banner, and must not suffer loss. From victory into victory, his army shall he lead, till every foe is vanquished, and Christ is Lord indeed. It is time to man up. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.